We're going to do something different this morning, at least different from what I may normally hit you with on a Sunday morning. When I first moved to Orlando for 2 weeks, our family lived with Jim and Shelly Cummins. And we had opportunity on the nights that we were there to eat ice cream pretty much every night. And in the midst of eating ice cream, have conversation, though. As you can understand, I was a 34-year-old pastor coming into pastor this church, brand new city, brand new church, brand new relationships and all that stuff. And so I had a lot of questions for someone like a Jim Cummins who had been around since the Ark. You know, like this guy, he knew everything and he knew lots of people. And I was telling somebody just yesterday that in the midst of talking to Jim and understanding how connected he was, particularly in the Church of the Nazarene, you could throw out any name to this guy and he'd say, oh yeah, I know them. Oh yeah, I went to college with them. Oh yeah, I knew their dad. And I said, at times, you know, I was tempted to like make up names just to see if Jim would in fact be, oh yeah. And I, no, Jim, Jose Canseco was a baseball player for the Oakland A's. Like he's, but that never happened. But I had a lot of questions for him about the community, questions about the church, questions about you people. And we would talk, you know, we'd have late night ice cream conversation. Well, I would ask him, I asked him one day about the calendar. And I said, is Centerpoint in the habit of following the Christian calendar? We're not going to go there today, but you understand as believers in Jesus, there's a much larger calendar that's at work in our lives than simply the U.S. calendar. There's a calendar with which we walk through the life of the church and the story of God with other believers all around the world, regardless of their nationality, because ultimately what draws us together as people is not finding ourselves under a flag of a nation or a flag of a soccer team or a flag of a college. It's finding ourselves under the name of Jesus Christ. And we get to celebrate and walk together as believers all around the world. Well, I asked him that question, and he went more U.S. calendar when I asked the question. And Jim was in the habit of helping other local congregations, particularly smaller churches that don't have staffs. But when that pastor would be out of the pulpit on a Sunday morning, Jim would often get called on to go preach at that particular church. And he gave me an example. He said, oh yeah. He said, you know, we celebrate the calendar. And he said, you know, not too long ago, I was called on to fill in the pulpit for a church, and it was going to be Mother's Day. And he said, so what did I do? He said, I sat back and I thought, lessons that my mother taught me. And there you go. I took that and I took that idea and that image and I went forward and I preached that Sunday on lessons my mother taught me. Well, in honor of Jim Cummins today, I want to share with you just for a few minutes out of the Word, but also lessons my mother taught me. My mother, her name is Jeannie Adams, and I call her Mama. I envied my cousins who were, you know, uppity-ups when I was growing up, and they called their moms and dads Mom and Dad, and I called mine Mama and Daddy. And so to this day, she's my mama. But she's an amazing woman. My mom is a go-getter. She's a goer and a doer. She's like the Energizer Bunny. She loves children. She accepted a call late in life to children's ministry. And at age 60, my mom was actually ordained in the Church of the Nazarene. And she's pursuing a call of children's ministry on her life. She's a children's pastor at the Church of the Nazarene in Franklin, Tennessee. And she really is one of my heroes. She is a peacemaker to a fault. Like this woman is going to try to maintain peace at all costs. And so we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But I love her. And so I didn't want to catch her by surprise because if there's one person who listens to my sermons online, it's Mom, right? So she'll listen to this later. But so I called her up and I said, Mama, I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm preaching a sermon entitled Lessons My Mother Taught Me. And she said, well, what did you come up with? And I said, well, don't worry about that. I said, if you had to think about lessons that you taught me, what would you say? And by this point, like, I've already got my lessons written out. And so my mom said, well, probably the first one would be stay faithful and never give up. I said, well, Mama, that's not one of the ones I got. I didn't catch that. And she said, well, what do you have? And you better not embarrass me, okay? I can't keep that promise this morning. But I said, well, the first one is always leave some change in the drawer. And she just laughed. She just laughed. Leave some change in the drawer. When I was growing up, elementary and middle school, my mom was the secretary at my school. So her office was right down the hall from all our classes. And I knew that pretty much any time I rolled through her office, there was going to be some change in the drawer. That was one of the things I absolutely loved about it, because when it was time for lunch, when it was time for snack, I could go, there'd be money in the drawer. And even my friends knew that. Like, my friends would say, like, hey, man, go down to your mom's drawer and see if there's any change in there, you know? Well, it wasn't always so good, though, because something we're going to talk about again later, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So in the fourth grade, my fourth grade class was walking from recess back into the building, and I kid you not, okay, I heard a kid in the line say, whose car is that without any hubcaps? And William Leviner said, that's Dwayne's mama's car. Thanks for pointing that out to everybody. You know, I'm standing back here. It wasn't so cool when in the eighth grade, my mom's office was right down the hall from our home ec class. My mom has this loud laughter, okay? She would laugh from down the hall. Our entire class would hear it. And somebody from class would look at me and say, you know that's your mama. Like, I don't hear anything. I'm trying to pay attention. Any grade that I was in, elementary and middle school, if I were to go to the principal's office, I had to go through her office first. I didn't go to the principal's office very much. Looking back, though, I'm pretty confident of this. There had to be something within my mom who wanted me to know from day to day that she was thinking about me, that she loved me. And she took that very simple gesture of leaving change in the desk drawer, I'm convinced today, as a simple way of saying, I love you and I'm thinking about you. And even today as an adult, I look back on that idea and I think, are there those little, simple, consistent ways that we can love for each other, we can love each other and care for each other, that don't cost us very much, but over a period of time, communicate to the other, I love you, and I'm thinking about you. You're on my mind. Well, I don't have any scripture to reinforce this point. I just wanted to share it with you this morning. We're going to go on to the second one. The second one is simply this. Humility can keep one's mouth in check. Don't give your opinion unless you're asked. If you have your Bibles, you can open up with me to Proverbs 21. All these scriptures will be on the screen. We're just going to hit a few Proverbs this morning, but Proverbs 21, verse 23 says this. It says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. As I grew older, I learned to appreciate the fact that my mom was always there for me. My mom was always loving me, encouraging me, strengthening me, supporting me. But I can tell you that very rarely in my life did my mom's agenda for my life get in the way of me living life. In other words, it seemed that there truly was a trust that my mom had in the Lord, that if she did what she was supposed to do, that the Lord was going to take care of her kids. And more often than not, my mom did not speak up unless her opinion was asked of her. I really began to appreciate that, particularly as a late teen and even as an adult, as I was getting married and we were having children, because I saw other models of family units that would be on shaky ground because any number of family members in that family unit thought it was their opinion or their opportunity to tell everyone else what you should do, what you should do next, what you should have said, where you should have gone, why you should have taken that job or why you shouldn't have made that move or whatever. And I began to look at the world around me and other peers and see some family relationships. And as I got older, I really began to appreciate the fact that my mom was there loving me, strengthening, encouraging, but she was also quick to hold her tongue and more often than not didn't share her opinion unless it was asked of her. Discipline and correction help shape a child. In my case, I got a lot of shaping. Proverbs 13:24 reads like this. Strong words here. Those who spare the rod hate their children, but those who love them are careful to discipline them. Again, I got a lot of love. I got a lot of shaping. I got a lot of care. There was something in my mom that was not going to let me get away with stuff. I'll never forget the day my mom was doing this silly little craft. Like, to this day, I don't know why she was doing this. She was doing a craft with pine cones that had cobwebs in them. And she was trying to get all the cobwebs out from within these little pine cones. And I walked in the door. I mentioned last week, you know, when I was 14, 15, 16, I pretty much knew everything. Like, you know, my parents didn't know more than I did. So I could just roll into any situation and fill them with wisdom, you know. You understand what I mean. Right, teens? You understand what I mean? And so I walked into the back door, and my mom's sitting at the kitchen table, and she's got these pine cones. She's rubbing all these cobwebs out and this dust out of these pine cones. And I walked in, and I said, why don't you just blow the stuff out of there? And she goes, it doesn't work. And I said, well, why don't you use the hairdryer? And she said, the hairdryer doesn't work. And I said, really? I said, well, let me take it. So I went into the other room. I took the hairdryer, and I was trying to use the hairdryer to blow these cobwebs out of this pine cone. And guess what? Just like mom said, it didn't work. So what did I do? I pulled the pine cone up to my mouth and I started going. I came out of the bathroom. I set the hairdryer down. And I said, got him out, all with the hairdryer. About that same time, my dad walked in the back door and my mom didn't even look at me. She looked up at my dad and said, he just lied to me. You need to take care of him. So much for the peacemaker thing, right? He took care of me. One day as a teenager, forget embarrassing her, I'm going to be embarrassing myself. But again, one day as a teenager who knew a lot, didn't occur to me that she could see my reflection in the mirror when I said something to her. To which she came around the corner and said, what'd you say to me? No. Nothing. She said, I just saw you in the mirror. Right? Again, discipline those you love. Right? My mom wasn't going to let me get away with stuff. Even as a smart aleck Bible quizzing teenager, this particular year, our Bible quizzing material included the verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I know this is going to ruin some of your guys' images of me. I haven't been perfect my whole life. Marley, I thought you'd say amen at that point. Like, Devin, you don't need to be amening at that point. Oh, is that you, Ron? No, but I remember at one point, my mom came up to me, and something was going on. I don't remember what kind of a jerk I was being, but my mom came up to me, and she said, what is such and such a verse? I said, what? She said, quote for me this verse. And I said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And she said, how are you going to stand up in a competition and quote that verse and then not treat me with that level of respect the Lord's calling you to treat me with? My mom wasn't going to let me get by with stuff. She was going to hold me accountable for my actions, knowing that her holding me accountable along the way was going to play a major part in me becoming the person that I was to become. And I'm sure today, as a 38-year-old, that she disciplined me because she loved me. Amen. So parents, we're not doing our kids a favor when we don't discipline them, even though it is difficult in the moment. And I'm very thankful today for that. The next one is simply this. Speak up for the Lord whenever you have a chance. Tears are okay. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says this. Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. My entire life, my mom was the piano player at our little church that we went to. Wallace Church of the Nazarene. A good Sunday, there was about 42 of us there. The song leader would stand up on a typical Sunday morning. His name was Rhodes Phelps. And he would stand up and say, what y'all want to sing today? And somebody, you know, leaning on the everlasting arms. And I kid you not, his go-to was, Jeannie, do you know how to play Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? Okay, she knows. She knows how. But it wasn't uncommon for him to turn and say, you know, Jeannie, you know how to play For the Beauty of the Earth? She doesn't know that one. This is stuff out of Mayberry, man, like for real. But my entire life, she was the piano player at the church, and she was on this side. And typically over here, we had about three acoustic guitars and a dobro, a bass player, and whatever song she knew to play, she would say, key of F, B flat, whatever it was, and we'd take off. Well, more than a few times, I got to hear and witness my mom testify about the goodness of the Lord from that little piano bench. And I kid you not, every time she gave a testimony in church, she would just weep. And I know there's some of you out there, you pick on me because I cry like a baby at the drop of a hat. I got it honest. I got it from my mom. And in the same way that some of y'all pick on me, we picked on her. You know? They said, hey, were you at church today? My mom, she testified, and here's how it went. Pastor, I saw a red bird today on the fence. It was terrible, but it was fun. Last week, the preacher preached a good sermon on tithing, and I just wanted to give more. Like, okay, really? So let's look that sermon up. Tears were okay, but she was very quick to speak up on behalf of the Lord. She wanted others to know that he deserved all the glory and the praise for anything good that was going on in her life, and she was a thankful person. She remains thankful today, despite some very unfortunate circumstances in our family over the last 2 months. And I look at my mom and I say, I want that posture of thankfulness. How do I get it? Where do I get it? Well, the last thing I want to point out for you, it may have some clues for that. The last one is simply this. We'll make it somehow. Trust in the Lord no matter the circumstances. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reads like this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. As a teen, I caught up on the fact that money didn't flow freely in our home. The same guys who would look at me and when my mom was laughing down the hall and say, you know that's your mama. Those were the same guys who would make fun if I didn't show up to school with name brand tennis shoes. But we never went without. And even today, I'm confident that my mom went through a lot more than I'll ever know to make life happen in the way that it happened for us. As a teen, I discovered that mama would do our budget and keep track of our bills in a spiral-bound notebook. And she would leave that little spiral-bound notebook under the placemat at her spot at the table. She doesn't know this, but there were times as a teenager I would look at it and I would see that there was a lot more month at the end of the money. And she didn't let on to that. She just trusted that somehow it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We can trust in the Lord despite the circumstances. The other thing I caught on to as a teenager, though, was that at the same table where she kept track of our budget and our bills, that was also the place where she spent time in the Word and in prayer every morning. And again, church, these are things that I think we probably only begin to understand as adults, because when we're younger, we've got blinders up about the world around us and how it works. And I'm confident as an adult today to understand that whatever level of trust that my mom had, that we were going to make it despite the circumstances, that there was a direct link between that posture of life and the time that my mom spent with the Lord each morning in the Word and in prayer. Because I know that even today, as an adult, as a dad, as a husband, I don't have it within myself, on my own strength, on my own power, to believe and to trust in the Lord without me walking with the Lord on a daily basis. It is that day-to-day walk with Him that gives me confident assurance that I can trust in the Lord despite the circumstances. He's working for my best, regardless of what I happen to see going on at the moment. And I hope, church, I hope that my life models that type of trust for those around me, regardless of the circumstances. I know we've all had different journeys with our moms. Some of us could share some lessons that grew out of very healthy images and faithful images. And some of us have become who we are today because some of the things we saw, we wish we could unsee. And some of the words we heard, we wish we could unhear. Wherever you are today, in your walk with your human relationships or in your walk with the Lord, I want to stand before you and say very confidently, you can trust in Him, regardless of the circumstances. Amen.